You're listening to episode 51 of the FitsPro podcast. And you guys, I have to just warn you today, there have been leaf blowers and street sweepers and Larry going absolutely bonkers when I am trying to record videos, create content, all of the things. So if you hear anything out of the ordinary today, I am so sorry. I am just done trying to control things out of my control. So today's episode is not about that. It is five areas of growth that I had in 2019. Some expected, some not, but I just thought it was fitting, you know, as we wake up to a new decade in a week, that I share this reflection with you and encourage you to also do some reflection if you have not yet done so. It is not too late. So without further ado, let's dive into the five areas of growth that I had in 2019. The FitsPro podcast is your no BS approach to seeking out truth in the world that is online health and fitness. You'll see through the lens of the trainer, the trainee, and the entrepreneur. I'm your host, Annie Miller, certified strength and conditioning specialist, entrepreneur, lover of sleep, lattes, and dinosaurs, aka not your average FitsPro. And my aim is to help you grow your mind, body, and business through knowledge and authenticity so that you too can become a FitsPro. So 2019 was honestly one of the best years of my life thus far, and that is in large part, I believe, due to traveling the world. It didn't suck, as well as business growth and financial stability. Yes, I do believe that we ought to be grateful in all states and stages of our life. Easier said than done, of course, but if we're being honest, money does to some extent allow for more freedom and less specified stress if dealt with in a good steward, which is something I'll talk about a bit later because money mindset was something that I worked heavily on in 2019. I actually recently did a podcast on that. If you haven't checked it out, make sure that you do so. This was simply because I was making more money and wanted to be responsible with it, but knew that I had false beliefs around money that would not benefit me, my marriage, or my business. I just had some stuff that I needed to work through in order to, you know, feel good about having the money that I was making through my business and the actions that I was taking with that money. So kudos to world travels and business because it's all a part of my life and self-growth. I read less books and had more experiences, I would say. I made more friends on the internet than I've ever had in real life. And we'll talk about that. And I learned so much this year. So let's dive into my big five takeaways from 2019. Number one is that I am way more flexible. If you don't know Annie, me, I am an introverted type A, ISTJ, A on Myers-Briggs, a 8 Enneagram. Sometimes I think I'm a 1. And I shift between a questioner and an upholder on Gretchen Rubin's 4 tendencies. All of that means that I like structure, systems, and predictability. I want to know the end of the movie before I watch it. I want to repeat things that work and am slightly terrified of things that are new to me with no proof of being efficient or productive. I really don't like to waste time. So you get my drift. Now, picture the person I just described traveling the world while running and scaling an online business. Really, that is why I can do both successfully, is that personality. But like any scenario, our strengths are often our weaknesses as well. When 2019 hit, we were off to Southeast Asia, very little of which we had planned. I had an option to remain uptight and want to plan every little thing, which is definitely what I tend towards, or I could learn to go with the flow. And I giggle because that is a huge challenge for me, at least a little more than I had, right? I had an opportunity to challenge myself and grow and pull a little bit at what I typically would like to do. We actually got to the point that we were booking things as we went rather than super far in advance. I will say that we like having our flights and hotels booked ahead of time just for peace of mind, but it's so easy to travel in Southeast Asia and it's cheap that it was a great time to be more flexible, to test that out. When we found out, I was invited to go with Frey Skincare to Morocco and got the dates from them. We pretty much just filled our time between 7 countries in Southeast Asia and then planned an impromptu trip through Portugal before heading to Morocco. That flexibility transferred to business and life in general. It's still important for me to have a plan, right? That's still my preferred daily structure. That's still my preferred way to function, but I am definitely more flexible with those plans and sometimes even find myself feeling restricted, dare I say, if my scheduled plans for the day don't align with what I feel like doing. So for instance, you know, I might have my plan for Monday, but then I wake up on Monday and I'm like, man, I really want to work on this instead. So I do that now. That would have never happened in the past. That would have been like, oh my gosh, you sinner, you're not doing what's planned for the day. This is going to be terrible. Everything's going to fall apart. So definitely some growth there. I don't know if you are comprehending that that is a huge deal for me, but I am a changed woman. That is huge for me to be flexible on any level. Like I said, I'm not fully there yet. It is definitely ingrained in me to love a plan, to love structure, but I do enjoy experiencing less stress around plans not going as planned. So that was huge. Another area of growth for me was relationships. This is something I had been yearning for a long time, you guys. So I got more friends. That's number two. I went from starting college and working to being in college, working and interning to working, training people in person and building an online business. So I was in college and working at the same time. I was in college working and interning at the same time. And then I graduated and was working, coaching competitive cheerleading, training people and building an online business. Add in the blaring introvert in me, and you can see why a social life was not a priority for me, right? I just needed time to recharge, to breathe, to even see what was in my headspace. So yes, I had friends, but if I had a choice between getting coffee alone and getting coffee with a friend, I would probably have chosen to get coffee alone. I was busy. I was so busy. I am sure you can relate to that in those seasons that you know a social life is important, but at the same time, you just want to take a bath by yourself and breathe. So I reset by being alone, slowing down and reflecting, creating space for my brain, like I said, to breathe, which is not how I feel with people, even people that I love being around. So here I was 5 to 6 years into being busy AF and not pursuing friends, to traveling the world with one human. A human I happen to love and who will, you know, I will spend the rest of my life with, God willing, but I'd yearned for more friends and connection for years. Like, I almost joined a CrossFit gym right before we left because I was working less in person and I had more time just by myself working every day. And there definitely was that pull for, like, I need more social interaction in my life. So before we left, I almost joined a CrossFit gym literally just to have friends. And it was like a burning desire once I went all in on my online business and started traveling the world. It was very apparent that I needed friends. And I happened to find mine on Instagram. If you think that's weird, we need to level the playing field here. People find relationships online all the time. In this day and age, it's more common than you might think. And I'd even argue that you can really find humans you want to connect with online because the pool is so much larger on the interweb. Now, I will also say I don't think anything in, you know, replace an in-person connection, but that wasn't really an option for me while bouncing around the world. Although we did have friends come visit. We actually had a friend come visit every 1.5 to 2 months, which was awesome. It was a perfect, like, ebb and flow of our travels. And we made friends along the way, some that we're going to visit on round two around the world. So back to Instagram. This is where I spent a good portion of my time anyway, right? I'm here. It's organic to the platform for me to be there. I enjoy being on it. And I knew a few women who I truly supported and wanted to befriend, but just never reached out. For whatever reason, I had just never reached out before, like intentionally to build a friendship, probably because I was so busy and it was a hustle at home. And so I just didn't do it. I wasn't that desperate. So I started responding to their stories more, commenting on their posts, not in a pushy or weird way. It was very organic. I just had the time and space to do so, and I was really wanting friends, so I had the energy to do it. It was important to me. These were things that I'd thought in the past, but never took the time and effort to verbalize, right? Really supporting what they're doing, letting them know, like, Allison Tenney, her coffee thing, I let her know, like, dude, every time you post your coffee stuff, I laugh and it brings me joy. I thought that all the time, I just never verbalized it. So I really just started being more verbal and intentional with how I interacted with these ladies, much more so via DMs than just commenting on their posts. So it didn't take long to begin fostering these friendships. And yes, these are real humans. I consider them real friendships. I would DM them, voice message them, and we voice chatted and video chatted, me and several different people on Instagram, with them while we were gone, more than my actual friends in the States. And that's not to be like, oh, my friends in the States are so selfish and they didn't reach out to me. It was just like I said, it was convenient. They are also on the platform. They're following my travels, and so it was an easy investment to make on both ends. I have to say a large part of that was convenience, like I said. I want to make that clear. They were where I was. They are also entrepreneurs, and that was really, really important for me. That was kind of a prerequisite that I didn't mention. I really wanted some entrepreneurial friends, women who got it, who understood the struggles of building their own business in the online space. It's just different than anything else, you guys. It's like moms wanting to be friends with moms, right? We want to have friends who are in the same stage of life as us, in this case, same stage as business as us. And if you're a biz owner, you know that. So I came home with far more friends than when we left, which felt amazing, both online and in person. I truly feel supported in life and business by these women, and I hope to meet them in real life someday. If I don't, cool. I have no problem video chatting and voice messaging them, you know, when I need support or when I want to celebrate them, because I have no doubt that if I see them in person, it's going to feel like seeing an old friend. Like, I legit feel like I know these people. And on that note, technology is super cool, and I am so grateful that I met these women in the online space who, you know, maybe some have different beliefs than me, others have the same beliefs than me, but we see eye to eye on enough and we support what the others are doing enough that we have literally created friendships on Instagram, and that is so cool. I will say that I still seek out friendships and am protective of the ones that I did create over the course of 2019. Moving on to one that I made progress in, but still have so, so far to go. So I did make progress in this. I am nowhere near where I want to be with this, and I think it might just be a lifelong thing for me because I am a doer and I like to do all the things. So number three is work-life boundaries. Like I said, I'm a doer. I like to do the things. I have a hard time sitting still. Even if I am sitting still, I'm still thinking or writing or dreaming or wanting to do something that feels productive. I would 150% be a workaholic if I was single. Oh my gosh. I have no doubt. I would be a workaholic. The introvert in me, as well as the type A performance-driven seeks productivity, I would just lock myself in a room and work for 13 hours a day or something. Not healthy. So, praise Nate. Being in a relationship with another human, hopefully, decreases that tendency. I know that it does for me. When you're an entrepreneur and you love what you do, I love what I do. And the more time I spend as an entrepreneur, I want to do more. I know it's like kind of counterintuitive, but I get better at getting and executing ideas and I want to improve upon what I've already made. So the process never really ends, for me anyway. It could be totally different for someone else, but I do try to remember an important piece of essentialism and the 4-hour work week. We don't become more efficient in our businesses so that we can do more. We become efficient so that we can create more space for our life, right? It's the concept that your business should serve your life. You should not serve your business, right? So we don't create more space so that we can fill that space with even more work, which is definitely something that I struggle with. Also something that I improved on this year. So that is so important and something that I have to remind myself of almost daily. The business should serve your life, not the other way around. I was talking about this a while back with a friend of mine, a friend from Instagram, mind you, and I mentioned that work-life balance was easier when we were traveling, and that surprised some people. That might be surprising to you at first, but it makes sense if you stick with me. So I could only work when we had Wi-Fi, which was essentially only when we were home. In fact, I typically just left my phone at home when we'd go anywhere because it was mainly pointless to have it, aside from maybe taking pictures or uploading videos to my Instagram stories later. But Nate gets a SIM card wherever we go, and I just keep my phone on airplane mode for the entire time. So last time, my phone was on airplane mode for 367 days last year. This forced me to prioritize work tasks when I had Wi-Fi and to be present when we were out and about. It was a seriously great gig. I mean, really, it was amazing. And I didn't realize it until we got back home and I could be on my phone working 24/7. And as I stated, I lean towards that decision. I lean towards working all the time. So I set some boundaries, like stopping work at 6 p.m., which does not happen as often as I would like it to. I'm sure you've noticed if you're on Instagram. But a big thing too was allowing life to take priority over work. So if Nate wanted to go, on a breakfast date, I said yes, and I would start work later in the day. If someone needed us to do something, we said yes, and I worked later, or I moved it to the next day. There were, of course, times when work did in fact need to come first, like I had a deadline and had to get something done, but life came before work enough times that I noticed it, right? I paused and I was grateful for the situation that we were in. So it was a reminder that is why I run an online business. With that online business, there was growth in so many areas. And that's kind of a segue into the financial portion, which I did talk about in that other podcast, which I'll link in the show notes. But so just to recap that, trying to set boundaries around what time I actually work, or maybe saying I'm going to work, for 2 hours and work as hard as I can and be efficient and turn my phone off. That was another thing I didn't mention. I started turning my phone off when I would actually work, which is amazing. And it's frightening how many times I reached for my phone during those 2-hour work periods. But I tried a few things, and it was all in the effort of creating better boundaries with work and life and being really intentional when I work and really intentional when I am doing life things and just living my life and being around people. So moving on to number 4, money mindset is number 4. Just did a whole podcast on how to have less stress around your finances. Check it out. I've discussed this, like I said, on other podcasts, so I won't repeat it, but my childhood left me with some pretty negative connotations about money. And despite that, I've always been good at saving money. So mostly out of fear, right? So it's not always amazing to be good at saving money if it's based in fear or, stingy mindset, if you will. There should be an abundant mindset, a servant mindset around money, I believe. So now I had become good at making money, and I wanted to make sure that I was being a good steward with that money. Like I mentioned, I being my husband and I, yes, I make the income for us, but it is our money, or that's how we see it. I read The Big Leap during our time in Santiago, Chile. That was our first location last time around the world. And you create a mantra for yourself in the book. I'm huge on implementing. So like if a book says to do something, you better believe I'm going to do it. It's also why it takes me so long to read books oftentimes. But the mantra was one that welcomes creativity, love, and abundance every day. Believing that you can, in fact, have them all. You can have money and a healthy marriage and creativity. And when you have them all, you actually don't have to self-sabotage, right? So in the book, it talks about reaching your upper limit and how when people reach levels of success, they will sabotage themselves. And, you know, that meter just gets bigger and bigger over time. And this book brings a healthy mindset to that, hopefully, and tools for you to be aware of your upper limits and not self-sabotage and continue to grow in a healthy manner. So I created a part of my mantra that said, money comes to me easily and effortlessly, and I welcome it. Because I did not believe any of that. 0%, not one piece. I disagreed completely with that mantra. That's the point and power of mantras, homies. They shift beliefs and therefore actions, right? Our actions come from our beliefs, beliefs from thoughts, or thoughts from beliefs. I don't remember. They're all connected, okay? So I repeated it almost daily for 1 year. Most often when I was walking to wherever, whatever coffee shop I was going to be working at that day, or while riding on the back of Nate's scooter, I just repeated it to myself when I felt stressed, when I felt like, you know, I wasn't worth something, I was going through some self-worth issues. The mantra was not about money, by the way. It's much longer than that, the entire mantra, and it involves many areas of my life, some that I believe, some that I didn't. But eventually, I did start to believe it and have more experiences that backed up that mantra and made it true. And boom, not magic, folks. What you focus on grows, right? It's not a secret. On top of the mantra was Instagram. God bless Instagram. Again, I follow a lot of successful women entrepreneurs, and I love how some of them talk about money, and I am really put off by others. So some of them I love, and some of them I'm like, nope, I don't align with that at all. Might still love the person, but just not the money mindset. So I started paying attention to the ones that I liked, that I was drawn to, that gave me hope. And this was actually an assignment in my mastermind that I was in at the time. So many of us have negative mindsets around money, fear and stress-based beliefs, but money can do good. And I believe we are blessed to be a blessing. I began studying these women and picking up on nuggets like, quote unquote, money is neutral, not good or bad. The numbers are sexy. Pay attention to your numbers. There's freedom in the numbers. Money is a simple exchange of energy, and so on. These types of things. I saw people do good with money, and witnessing that created a switch in me. Again, that might not apply to you, but these are my 5 areas of growth for 2019. So that was a huge one for me. And making money doesn't have to be greedy. It doesn't have to be based in wanting more or being greedy. You don't have to be frivolous with it. It is neutral, and we have choices. That's really what it comes down to. So money mindset is still something I'd like to learn more about. I think that learning about it is empowering. I talk about that in the other podcast episode. But I will say that getting into the nitty-gritty of finance and working on my money mindset has done wonders for me in 2019. The last one, number 5, is that I sought out mentorship. I reached out a lot more and to a lot more humans asking for help in 2019. I was reaching new levels of business, and I wanted to be supported in business and in life. I also want to point out that I talk about biz and life somewhat intertwinable, because I think they are. I think your biz affects your life, and I think that your life affects your business. I don't think that you can fully separate the two, and I think that it's foolish to think that you can. I think healthy people can create healthy businesses, and that's what I am after, right? That's what I seek out. So when I am seeking out mentors, courses, and masterminds, I'm looking at their life, their values, and how they're running their business, because it needs to be in alignment with my desires and my goals. And I think that people who want to work with me and do Fitzpro Foundations are looking at the same things when they look into Fitzpro Foundations, not only the course, but me, how I show up on Instagram, and how I'm living my life. I think that that's natural. In the past, I almost shied away from some mentorship because it required vulnerability. This might surprise you, but I'm not the most vulnerable person. To be effective, anyway, I think that it requires vulnerability. And that meant I had to open up. That meant they'd see the messy and the unrefined in life or in biz. They'd see that I did not actually have it all together, that there were gaps, right? That there was a dark side, which I know is true for everyone. I know that's true for all humans, all business, but still, that was a major roadblock for me in the past. And I opened that door a bit more in 2019. I was willing to say, okay, but if I'm vulnerable and let this person in and let them see the mess, they can help me with the mess, right? Hopefully they have grace plus tools for me to use. So I knew I was reaching my ceiling and feeling somewhat panicked, if you will. So I reached out to mentors and I joined a mastermind with a woman I align very, very much so with. The mastermind didn't provide the level of support I was hoping for, but it did provide the push to do scary things and a clear vision of future possibilities for me. It definitely helped me shift my mindset to a CEO mindset. So I know, business again, but hear me out. That CEO mindset came through weekly journaling for 6 months. It came through mental work, mental health work for 6 months, continued into 2020, right? So through looking at my life and what I want out of it and how that's going to happen, both on the business side and on the personal side, by checking in weekly with how I am doing. I actually shared some of my journal prompts from the mastermind in my Instagram stories last week, and people absolutely loved it. So, like, how am I really doing? Where am I at emotionally? Where is my stress at? Where is it coming from? What am I anxious about? What are my goals? What specific area am I going to focus on? My marriage, my physical health, having more playtime in my life, talking to more people throughout my week, having more touch points, keeping my workspace clean. Like, that's the type of stuff we were doing in this mastermind that created this CEO mindset. It was just creating a healthier me, a more aware me that allowed me to show up in a bigger way, in a more professional way, in a more centered way for my business. So I hope you can see why business is intertwined with a lot of these. I don't want to sound like a broken record, of course. But basically, a lot of my growth is influenced by my work and what I do, but the growth that happens in my life, not directly in my business necessarily. The biz growth is a byproduct of working on being a better me in my life, in the work being done in my life. And then, yes, of course, there is actual work done in the business, but that will only be of high quality if I am taking care of everything outside of the business as well. Just like with training, you can't train all you want, but you know, you can train all you want, excuse me, but if your sleep, diet, and stress management is shit, you're not going to get results, right? We know that. So I hope that analogy makes that very clear. In 2020, I hope to broaden these areas even more, but I am so, so grateful for 2019 and all that it brought to Nate, myself, and my business. Thank you guys so, so much for all of the support that you give me on Instagram, if you've purchased my programs, if you, you know, listen to this podcast, it's all support. Thank you for the messages that you guys send me. They don't go unseen. They don't go unappreciated. You guys are the best. Here is to another year of world travel and even greater growth. No big takeaways for you, but if you haven't yet reflected on 2019, I hope you will. It's not too late because you have grown. And sometimes it's so hard to see if we don't sit down and take the time to look for it. That is all for today. If you haven't, please head over to iTunes and give the show 5 stars. Leave a written review. It's how I gain traction in the podcast world and get more humans to find the show. Until next time, I am Annie Miller, and thank you so, so much for listening to the FitzPro Podcast.